What's going on, everybody? This is your man JR coming in with the More Sauce podcast. It's the 17th of December. You know, it's Monday. We had a great weekend of sports activity. And first off, I want to go into boxing because I feel it was a great weekend for boxing. You know, we don't always get a good weekend of fights, but this weekend didn't disappoint. We had a couple big title fights going on. And of course, I believe the headliner of all of them was probably Canelo Felden, which is the big hype of the weekend. But besides that, we also had my man Tevin Farmer, you know, and Fonseca on that undercard. And then we also had a title fight with Ramirez and Hart. And I'm going to get into those a little bit. So first, I want to get into Friday's fights, Ramirez and Hart. Ramirez, current champ, Hart coming in for chance number two to knock him off. And, you know, the build-up to rematch is always big because we're going to see what's different than the first fight. The first fight was Hart coming a little bit too late, with a little too late, as they say. The second fight, he had a whole different game plan. He tried to muddy the fight up, and I personally didn't enjoy watching it. It wasn't a good fight to watch from a fan perspective, but I guess he figured that was his best way to win the fight. And you know, you got to do what you got to do to fit your skill set. However, I just feel Ramirez did show his class in this fight, you know, besides the mud and everything that the fight was going to, and Hart, you know, Hart's game plan. Ramirez, he rose to the top each time, you know, and he was the one delivering more power punches, delivering more punches, period. Hart really wasn't landing on punches on him like that. You know, I understand at the end of the day, he felt he may have won the fight. And from him, I can understand how you can see that. You say, hey, I slowed the fight down, but from everybody else in the arena watching at home, it really wasn't that close. You know, we didn't really see Hart inflicting that much damage on Ramirez. And even still, Ramirez with the arm injury in the 12th round, we're thinking, okay, this is it. My man, you got a one-armed guy in a boxing match just throwing haymakers with one arm, and you can't do anything about it. And at that point, I think round 12 really just solidified, you know, just how one-sided that fight really was, you know. So it's nothing against Hart. I just feel he had the wrong game plan going into that fight, and I think he should have been way more aggressive versus trying to, you know, muddy it up and try to, you know, make it an ugly fight, because that ultimately backfired against that style of fighter. So the referees, I mean the officials aren't gonna benefit you for that. You know, at the end of the day, you gotta outbox your opponent or knock him out. And that's one thing a lot of guys are really understanding. I don't understand how it took them this long to understand. If you're the challenger and you're going up against the champ for a belt, if it goes to the cards, 9 times out of 10, you're not gonna win. You know, it's very rare that the champ is gonna lose their title over a decision. It's just gotta be ridiculously lopsided. And if it's anywhere close, you're not gonna win. You know, so I don't think he should have been completely surprised at the outcome of that fight. And like I said, I wish him the best in his next fight. He's a fighter that possibly could have some more title chances in him. He's going to stay amongst the top of the ranks in his weight class. So definitely keep an eye out for my man Hart. And shout out to Ramirez, who also mentioned that he's looking to move up in weight for his next challenge. So who is that next fighter going to be? We don't know. So definitely keep an eye on what the Ramirez camp is doing. You know, just some solid fighters in that weight class. So, you know, we're just going to see what the opportunity holds and who takes the bait and what he's got out there for him. Now let's get into this Canelo. Canelo, people's champ, Canelo Alvarez, Saul Alvarez against Rocky Felden. Everybody's getting hyped about the Rocky Canelo fight, and that was a fight everybody, you know, wanted to check out on his own. Now, I don't know, you know, who Rocky was coming into the fight, really. You know, I just, you know, Googled him real quick, you know, before the fight, just to find out what he was about. And you know what? European fighters, they typically hold their own, so I'm not gonna knock him for that. But I had no real anticipation of him winning this fight. And like such, you know, he gets in the ring, gets it handed to him repeatedly, 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 fights over, you know. So I understand people really wanted to see Canelo do that in these fights. Nobody wants to see Canelo go 12 rounds. So in that case, I feel Canelo gave the fans what he wanted. What's his next challenge? Because so far he's running through competition. You know, I don't know if he wants to go up in weight or what he wants to do, or maybe there's a young fighter, young bull out there that wants something that can give him a good fight. But as of right now, these Canelo fights, I can't say I'm getting excited about them because they're all ending the same way. And, you know, it's nothing exciting. It's kind of like watching a Lomachenko fight, but not quite as nice. You know what I mean? It's just, I want to see a good fight, two good fighters going at it. At least give me 7, 8 rounds of solid back and forth. And then after that, you know, the cream rises to the top, of course. So shout out to my man Canelo holding on to that belt. And then on the undercard of that, we have my man Tevin Farmer. Tevin Farmer fought Fonseca to defend his belt. So shout out to him as well. And also Michaela Mayer. And a lot of people may not follow women's boxing, but if you watch, you know, these major fights, she's been on probably 4 or 5 undercards this year. And I just happen to know who she is because I'm like, man, she's fighting again. So shout out to Michaela Mayer, man. She's a hardcore woman in boxing, I think. She fought Salgado from Colombia. I think that fight went the full distance, 8 rounds. But it was a unanimous decision on that as well. So shout out to Michaela and on to her next endeavor. Because I'm sure she'll be in for a bigger title fight next year in 2019. So that's a name you definitely want to get used to hearing. Michaela Mayer. All right. And that being said, that's going to wrap up boxing for now. The next segment, we're going to get into a little bit of that. So now we're talking about NFL action from the weekend. I know it's Monday, so the week is not over. We still have Monday Night Football to go. And as far as that goes, we got the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints. And a lot of people are saying, oh, the Saints, the Saints, the Saints. Well, I'm not a believer in the Saints tonight because I'm going Carolina on that. And I'll definitely, you know, own up to that like I always do in my predictions. So I'm going to go Monday Night Football. We've got the Carolina Panthers upsetting the New Orleans Saints. I mean, the Panthers really don't have much to play for. Playoffs are pretty much out of hand. But hey, why not knock off one of your division rivals in the process? And I think that's going to happen tonight. All right. So as far as the weekend, we had a couple notable games. We had the Chargers and the Chiefs, big battle for the AFC West out there. Shout out to Phillip Rivers coming out on top of the Chiefs. It was a 1-point victory. So now the Chiefs have worked themselves way back up to the top of the AFC standings. I mean, we've seen the Kansas City Chiefs and the Patriots fall off a little bit as of late. And so that also leaves the Houston Texans up there as well with these guys. So speaking of Houston Texans, they played the Jets. They won by a touchdown. I mean, it is what it is when you're playing the Jets. Win's a win. DeAndre Hopkins had a big day, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns. Shout out to him. Deshaun Watson, almost for 300. So definitely they're doing big things down in Houston. You had the Cleveland Browns and the Denver Broncos. Hey, the Cleveland Browns, it's a new day. They're winning games. You know, whether by small margins or not, hey, it's progress. They beat the Broncos, who seem to be going the opposite way, the Cleveland Browns. Knocked them off 17-16. The Dolphins came into the week with playoff hopes and aspirations still alive. They played the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota proceeded to smack them in the mouth. So, without, you know, the sky falling and everything lining up perfectly, the Dolphins season is pretty much a wrap. So, shout out to the Vikings for taking care of business. Dalvin Cook with 2 TDs on the day. Then we had the hottest team in the NFL, Seattle Seahawks, came into San Francisco game yesterday. One of those trap games, and they did get trapped. They blew this team a couple weeks ago, and that's to show you any given Sunday anything can happen. So we had the 49ers upset Seattle 26-23 in overtime. And then a couple teams that nobody really paying attention to for good reason. Yeah, the Arizona Cardinals and the Atlanta Falcons came out victorious in that matchup. They won 40 piece on Arizona. So shout out to them for actually, you know, showing up a little bit too late. But it is what it is. Better late than never. Buffalo and Detroit. That was a 1-point victory for the Buffalo Bills. Nothing really to write home about in that game. It is what it is when you're playing Buffalo and Detroit. The Bears wrapped up the NFC North by defeating the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay is done. At this point, they can just hope to get a good draft pick. They got coaching issues, blah, blah, blah. The Bears, they've been looking solid all season. I'm going to still roll with the Chicago Bears coming out of the NFC. You heard it here on our Morse House podcast. Then we also have the Bengals and the Raiders. Raiders are a dumpster fire. Nobody pays any attention to the Bengals. They're awful as well. So let's just keep moving on. And the story of the week, and I would probably say, would be the Dallas Cowboys being shut up by the Indianapolis Colts. The Indianapolis Colts came in there with a 23 piece on them. No points allowed. Dak Prescott and the offense was rather anemic. No touchdowns, not many yards through the air. And then on the ground, Marlon Mack for the Colts, he put up a nice 140 yards on them and a couple touchdowns. So shout out to him for a great performance. And speaking of shutouts, we also want to go to the NFC East mates of the Cowboys and New York Giants. They've got who knows who hurt, with the exception of Saquon Barkley, which is enough for me to get points. But anyway, they're playing the Tennessee Titans, who have been running over boys. And by running over boys, I mean Derrick Henry's been a machine the past 2 weeks. So he's been putting up over, like 500 and some yards and like six touchdowns in the past two games. Just astronomical numbers. Shout out to Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans. Are they still playing for the playoffs? Looks like it. Now, the Giants, they've got nothing to play for. OBJ, he's hurt. Eli, who knows what's going on with that. So definitely, I'm going to say the NFL right now is winding down. So all the teams out of contention, you don't know what you're going to get from them. Fantasy football is about over, so thank goodness for that. Washington Redskins beat the Jaguars, two terrible teams going down. Baltimore Ravens, that run with Lamar. Lamar's putting up some decent games. Nothing really special through the air, but he's combining the ground and the air. So give him a dual threat, which is definitely a shot of rejuvenation for the Baltimore offense. I know they did play Tampa, who's not the best team in the world, but hey, it's the NFL. Every team can beat you on any given day. And the Patriots, Steelers come out victorious after a couple of debacles in the past couple games. They got back on the winning track. Patriots headed the other direction. They're 9-5 right now, so they've no longer got that first round bye that we've accustomed to seeing the Patriots have every year. But the season's not over yet, so anything can happen. And then we've got the Philadelphia Eagles and the Los Angeles Rams. Now, one thing about the Rams, that team was very hot all season. Everybody's on their wave right now for good reason. But the Philadelphia Eagles are still the defending champions. And they brought in my man Nick Foles. Now, I've always said the Philadelphia Eagles are not the Philadelphia Eagles without Nick Foles, a quarterback. I understand they love Carson Wentz, but the reason that team did not prosper this season is because they betrayed Nick Foles. When Nick Foles was at the quarterback, they were a much better team. It doesn't look good, all that blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, if it looks ugly and you're getting W's, that's what you want. But shout out to Nick Foles and the Eagles for knocking out the Rams yesterday. All right, and that's pretty much a quick rundown in the NFL from the weekend. Hey, it's Monday night, so I'll definitely follow back up with you guys later to touch on Monday Night Football. Should be a great game in the NFC South, so tune into that. Anything else I missed for the weekend, reach out to me on Twitter, ELSAUCE89. That's once again at LSauce89. I check that pretty frequently, so reach back out to me with that. And one more little three piece today. So the next I'm going to be giving my initial reaction to the Champions League draws and my predictions with that as well. So tune in for that. As I mentioned, we've got the round of 16 set up for the Champions League. And let me just run down these matchups real quick, because it looks like we're in for it. It's only a bunch of good games. We've got Schalke and Manchester City. We've got Atletico Madrid versus Juventus. We've got Manchester United versus PSG. We got the Hotspur versus Dortmund. We've got Lyon and Barcelona, Roma versus Porto, Ajax and Real Madrid, and Liverpool versus Bayern Munich. Now, any one of these games can go any kind of way. So people out there talking about, oh, this team's going to smack this team around on the pitch. No, sir, not at all. Because I see any of these matches going either way. So as far as we've got a pretty Premier League heavy 16 with a couple Bundesliga squads in there. So those teams, like I said, those Premier League teams, I don't really see any of them that special this season. But it's Champions League, so anything is possible. The Schalke versus Manchester City matchup. I'm gonna have to go with Manchester City. Manchester City is riding high right now. Do I think they're gonna win it at all? Probably not. But I do believe they're a little bit tougher than Schalke. Now, Atletico Madrid and Juventus. I'm gonna have to go with Juventus in that matchup. Why, you ask? Juventus has all the firepower. And Atletico is a La Liga team. Ronaldo, he made his name in La Liga, so he knows how to break down these type squads. And then, with the rest of those boys, I just think Juventus has been on a hot streak all season. I think that continues against these guys. Manchester United versus PSG. Oh, Manchester United, I'm surprised they're still here. But the fact that they made it, this is a testament. They can dig deep when they need to. PSG, I do believe, has too much firepower, similar to Juventus. They're going to rack up some goals on these guys. I don't think they're going to keep PSG out of the net. So I'm going to probably say that's going to be like a 3-2 game. It's going to be a lot of goals scored, very exciting game. So that's probably going to be my must-see, one of my must-see games, definitely. Then we have Hotspur, Tottenham, and Borussia Dortmund. I'm going to go with Dortmund because Dortmund is having a very solid season this year in the Bundesliga as well as Champions League. And I honestly think they may be, at the moment, the best team in Europe. That may sound a little off the wall, say, hey, we don't consider German teams like that, but I don't see this team really sticking second teeth to anybody right now. Barcelona versus Lions. I do see Barcelona with that, of course. As long as you got Messi, you're gonna make things happen. Roma and Porto. I'm gonna go with Roma, and that just. I think that's really the toss-up matchup because I don't really think either one of those squads is neither heads and shoulders above each other. I think they're probably the lower tier of this group as far as the two teams in the 16. So I'm going to go with the Serie A squad, Roma. Then we have Ajax and Real Madrid. Now, after watching Ajax in that group stage, I'm going to have to go with Ajax over Real Madrid. Real Madrid does not look good at all whatsoever in Champions League play as of late. So I'm going to go with Ajax. They had a couple battles with Bayern in the group stage, so I think they're going to be ready for anything thrown their way. And speaking of Bayern, they're matched up with Liverpool. Now, a lot of Liverpool people are thinking, oh, they've got an easy walkthrough against Bayern Munich, which I don't understand why you would think that. Bayern has played much better in the Champions League than they have in their Bundesliga season. And as of the past month or so, they've turned things around. So definitely, I'm personally going to go with Bayern against Liverpool. Why, you ask? Because I just think right now Bayern is a hotter team. They've slowly started infusing some of that youth into the lineup, so their speed is up. And I just think that team has got something to prove, and Liverpool's in the way. So I'm going to go with Bayern in that game as well. Now, if you listen to this podcast and you think my predictions are blasphemous, please let me know. I'm here to talk to you guys all the time. Hit me up on the Twitter. Like I said, I can get that in the last segment. So please reach out to me. I love to talk about these things. I got polls and things like that also. And also, if you follow me on the Twitter, I got a giveaway, gift card for the month of December. So, if you see that post on the Twitter, tell a friend, retweet that. We can get that word out and everybody can tune into the Morse House podcast. In the meantime, it's time to get out of here. Y'all be good. All right, catch y'all later.
What's going on, everybody out there in the world? This is your man JR, and this is the More Sauce Podcast. It's Christmas morning, man. It's like 12:20 a.m. and I'm out here doing this podcast for y'all. The NFL week has concluded. The Raiders just knocked off the Denver Broncos and what may be the finale at the Oakland Raiders Stadium. It's a lot of great history there, a lot of bad seasons there, a lot of good Raider Nation there. So we'd hate to see that place go, but where it is, they're going to Vegas. So I guess Vegas is a new hot spot for teams, hockey and whatnot. So good luck to the Raiders and whatever they choose to do. But let's get into what it really is. And it's almost playoff time. And with that, we got the playoff brackets about filled out. Shout out to Pete Carroll. Got the extension, getting the team in the playoffs with Seattle. And that's one of the big stories of the day as well. Pete Carroll gets an extension through 2021. He's been there 9 seasons, 7 playoff appearances, 2 Super Bowls and 1 victory in the Super Bowl. So amongst current coaches, he's definitely in the upper echelon. So shout out to him for doing the job well done. And shout out to the boys in Seattle also just for, continuing to play great football. So, of course, we had a lot of good, important games going on yesterday. And let's get into some of that recap, and then we'll talk about the playoffs. So we had the Washington Redskins in Tennessee play yesterday. The Washington Redskins they're in a crash course of nowhere. You know, ever since my man Alex Smith went down, that team, and Colt McCoy, that team has absolutely got nothing. Adrian Peterson, he's, you know, taking 25 carries a night, trying to lead them to victory, but that's not going to work in today's game. We all know that. So, you know, shout out to Adrian Peterson. He's moving on up the all-time list. How many more seasons he have, we don't know, but enjoy it while we still can. Don't take these guys for granted. Running backs are here today, going tomorrow. Adrian Peterson beginning of the decade plus of solid work. Shout out to him. But speaking of solid work, you guys got to excuse me. I'm just not getting my voice back good. But the Tennessee Titans, shout out to those guys, man. They're out there doing some great things in the season. I think I've come to realize that Tennessee Titans, they play their best football towards the end of the season. I don't know what it is about them. They like to just be mediocre or terrible during the first half of the season. But end of the year, they turn it on, second year in a row. And they may sneak themselves into a playoff. You don't know. So shout out to them, you know, just for playing some good second half of the year football. Derrick Henry's a beast right now. I don't think there's anybody out there in the past 3 weeks doing more damage than Derrick Henry. So shout out to them and the Tennessee running game. The offensive line are doing a great job out there in Tennessee. San Diego Chargers. San Diego Chargers had us all, you know, hyped up, knocking off Kansas City, getting that AFC West picture shaken up, and they go into Baltimore. You know, Baltimore comes in there and knocks them off. So, you know, hey, anybody can be beat any given day, but Lamar Jackson and Baltimore Ravens, they look real solid. So definitely, I'm not going to say they're a contender. I'm not going to do that. But they're having a very solid season. I think they're very good, but I don't think they have it when it comes to going all the way out the AFC. But I'm wrong just like anybody else is wrong. So good luck to the Ravens for the rest of the season. We got week 17 coming up, so shout out to them. Jacksonville Jaguars and Miami Dolphins, a little Florida derby. Jags knocked the Dolphins off. The Dolphins came into the week just, you know, hoping and prayer that anything possibly can go right for them to get the playoffs. But they went ahead and put the knife in their own stake, you know, taking that L to the Jaguars 17-7. So the Dolphins, man, we really don't know what they expect from those guys. They're going to have a lot of turnover, we believe, in the offseason. So if you're a fan of the Dolphins right now, don't get used to nobody on the roster. Jacksonville Jaguars, they're in a, you know, a setback season. I don't know if they're going to come back next year. I don't know what they're doing in Jacksonville. But we expected bigger things from them. Unfortunately, they didn't deliver. But, you know, season's about over. They can go have a long, nice offseason and get their stuff together and come back next season. We'll see what they got. But anyway, let's move on from those guys because it has no playoff implications to a game that had all the playoff implications. We're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and the Seattle Seahawks, one of the great Sunday night football games of the season, by the way. The Kansas City Chiefs came in, you know, top of the AFC West. Seattle Seahawks playing for that wild card spot. They should have clinched last week. They laid the egg. Well, not the egg, but they should might as well lay the egg against San Francisco. They got upset in overtime against San Francisco. So had to live another week to fight for that playoff spot. They got that this week, beating one of the top teams in the league and arguably this year's MVP, as most people say, Pat Mahomes. He still put up 3 touchdowns, but Seattle came out with a 7-point victory. I'm here to say I'm a believer in the Seattle Seahawks. Something about these guys just says, hey, don't bet against them, and I wish them good luck going to the postseason as well. Got the Ohio Derby, the Bengals and the Browns. The Bengals are atrocious. The Browns are showing signs of heavy improvement. They're like 7-7-1. Can't forget the tie. So they could technically, if they win next week, they have a winning record with an 8-7-1, which is, I don't know about y'all, but an 8-win Cleveland Brown team is something we don't see very often. In my lifetime, I can't really count how many 8-win seasons they really had. Probably 2 or 3, if I'm being generous. So shout out to the Browns, Baker Mayfield. He's got those guys believing. I don't know what the future holds for the Browns, but it looks promising from what they've been able to do this year. And good luck to those guys and the fans of the Dog Pound. Dallas Cowboys and Buccaneers. I had Tampa upset in Dallas, but like I said, I can be wrong. Cowboys prevailed. They've won the NFC East. Now, what that really means, we don't know. I mean, we know a game's coming through Dallas in the playoffs. Congratulations to that. But is anyone taking Dallas serious right now? I mean, we don't know. Zeke is still Zeke. Dallas's defense is still performing at a very elite level. Now, it's just, we all know something about once that season ends, the flip switches. Is Dak Prescott going to be able to make plays for the Cowboys to win games? You're not going to hand the ball to Zeke and throw BS all day in the playoffs. We know that. We're going to need a quarterback to make big plays. Quarterbacks win playoff games and great defense. I don't care how good your running game is, because somebody's going to set the box and say, hey, throw the football. That's a knock on Dak Prescott. You know, if he wants to shed all the doubt and the haters, he's going to go into the playoffs in Dallas and ball out and get that W and get that monkey off his back. Because, you know, until you win, people going to keep throwing it at you. Keep throwing it at you, keep throwing it at you. You know, like David Price and them. You just go out there and get it done. And once you do it, they got nothing to say about it. So good luck to the Dallas Cowboys coming out the NFC East and what they got going on in the playoffs. Minnesota Vikings, another playoff team. Detroit Lions. The Lions, they had an awful season this year. You don't know what they got going on up there. Don't really care. Minnesota Vikings, they had a pretty solid run last year. A slight step back this year. They had a quarterback change that didn't necessarily work out in their favor to the complete best, but they are back in the playoff hunt. So, I mean, I wouldn't put any money on Minnesota for anything, but they're there. And on any given Sunday, anything really is possible. We know that. But I would say the Vikings are a first-round bounce. So, I mean, if you're a Viking fan, my apologies for pissing you off, but that's just my honest thought about the Minnesota Vikings. I don't think Kirk Cousins is that guy to get them to the promised land. So then we had the Colts, the Indianapolis Colts, the resurgence of Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. This is a team that's been in the dumpster for the past couple years. You know, Luck can't stay healthy, blah, blah, blah. But guess what? Luck is back, and the Colts got Luck on their side. Maybe it's that lucky horseshoe on the helmet, because these guys have been balling out this season. They snuck around over the Giants the other day, one-point victory. They need all the W's they can get, because they're chasing the Houston Texans in the division. That's over. Texans already locked that up. But the Colts, you know, playing for that playoff position, came through in the clutch. And when a team got things to play for, you really see what they're made of. Shout out to the Colts. The Giants, they're playing for draft picks. Good luck to those guys. Patriots and Bills, who cares? You know, Brady and these boys have won the AFC East again. Buffalo Bills at the bottom of the division again. Oh, no, wait. I'll take that back. The Jets are at the bottom of the division. So the Bills finished second to last. So I guess that's an improvement. You know, last year they were a little bit better. This year they stepped back. I don't know if Buffalo's worth really getting hype about next season, but, you know, the season's over for right now, so we don't know. But we'll see what next year holds for them. Shout out to the Buffalo Bills for coming and participating this season. And the Patriots win the division again. You know, New England, I have 0 faith in them making the Super Bowl this year. I know the Patriot fan, Patriot Nation is going to say, how can you bet against Brady? I don't think Brady's invincible. I don't think the Patriots are invincible. They can be beat and will be beat this season. So I think they're going to get a game in Foxborough, and then they're going to bounce out. And we're going to have somebody new coming out the AFC. Who that may be, we don't know. I personally, I'm partial to Houston Texans this season. I think Deshaun Watson, Thomas, Hopkins, those boys on offense, that defense is playing, you know, solid ball. I think they have what it takes to come out of that AFC for the Houston Texans. But anyways, let's keep it going. AFC East. Got the Jets and the Packers played yesterday. Meaningless game. You know, shout out to Aaron Rodgers putting up some big numbers. But who cares when you're not really playing for anything. So let's move on to the Texans and the Eagles. Houston Texans. Like I just mentioned, I believe Texans are coming out of the AFC. But my man Nick Philly Connection Foles came through once again and put up some monster numbers for the Eagles. And I think it's time people really start paying me attention when I say, hey, the Eagles will not prosper without doing right by Nick Foles. I don't know what it is about Carson Wentz, but Nick Foles is the man for the job in Philly. I understand Carson Wentz is, you know, the draft pick and all this, blah, blah, blah. But Nick Foles. Please, if you're a Philly fan, if you can get this to anybody in Philadelphia, please. Nick Foles needs to be under center for 16 games, and they can possibly get back to where they need to be. Because without Nick Foles, the Philadelphia Eagles are terrible. And that is all I'm going to say about that. So we're going to go to the Falcons and the Panthers. NFC South matchup, good rivalry. You know, NFC South, both of these teams are underachieving this year. Two former playoff teams. So the Falcons pull out the 2-touchdown victory of the Panthers. What's going on with the Panthers? They shut down Cam. They brought in Taylor Heineke. He gets hurt. They look awful, period. Shout out to Christian McCaffrey. He's pretty much the only bright spot of the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, he's going to continue to do big things because he's getting all the receptions, all the handoffs, pretty much is the offense. Shout out to him. You know, I really didn't. I wasn't that high coming on this guy coming out of Stanford, but hey, he's proved me wrong. I thought, you know, West Coast guys, they're just, you know, all hype in college, but he's coming to the NFL and made a name for himself. You know, just like his pops, he may be a little bit better than his pops. So shout out to him and pops. But anyway, Panthers and Falcons, two irrelevant teams this year. The season's over. Regroup for next year, see what those guys have, and then come and bounce back. The Rams and the Cardinals, NFC West. Rams had their division locked up already. Come in, smack Arizona in the mouth real quick. Those guys in Arizona, they're awful. So you know that 31-9 victory was not much to be said for. It is what it is. Then we got the Bears and the 49ers, the team I've been very, very high on this season. Chicago Bears, 49ers. 49ers knocked off Seattle last week. So hey, if you were a betting man, you might say, hey, maybe they can do it twice. Wrong. Bears coming with a victory, low scoring game, which I think the Bears' best formula is low scoring, good defensive games. They go out there, get the 14-9 victory. I think that style of game plays to the Bears. But if the Bears get in a shootout, I think they're in trouble. Fortunately, the Bears' defense is good enough not to be in shootouts. So definitely keep an eye out for those guys. They can do some damage as well. And then that brings us also to more damage. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the New Orleans Saints. The New Orleans Saints sneak one out against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who just seem to let games get away when they need to lock them down. I really don't know what to say about Pittsburgh other than they let everybody down repeatedly. But if you're still a fan, shout out to you for holding these guys down. Big Ben, Juju, you know, Antonio Brown. They had great games, statistically speaking. They just didn't do enough or make the right play when they need to make it. And the Saints got the home field throughout the NFC. A lot of people say, oh, the dome is magical. It's got a mystique about it. It's got voodoo, whatever it may be. I don't think this team is really going to show up in the postseason and get the Super Bowl. I think the team's going to come in there, depending on what everything finals out to be. Someone's going to come into the Superdome and knock these guys off. You know, I mean, they've been talking about Drew Brees all season. Drew Brees, Drew Brees, Drew Brees. I love Drew Brees. Drew Brees is one of the all-time greats, but I don't think Drew Brees and the Saints are going to do it this season. But if you are a Saints fan, hey, you may say, hey, man, this man JR talking that nonsense. I don't think it's nonsense. I mean, Saint the Who Dat Nation, I think is a very proud nation of fans, and I think they also got to get hit with a dose of reality. You know, number one seeds don't guarantee anything. You know, we don't play the game for records. We play the game to win championships. So I mean, as we know, number one seeds typically don't do that well. So I mean, do you really want the number one seed? Get too much pressure on you? We'll see. What are the Saints made of? We really don't know. Regular season and postseason are two different things. Ask Kansas City Chiefs, because that was the case. They'd have about five Super Bowls by now. But shout out to the Saints for playing a great regular season. They've got two losses. They may finish 14-2, you know, which is a great season. You know, we'll see if Drew Brees is still an MVP running. Probably not. He hasn't had that type of season like they tried to hype it up to be. But of course, they do have the best record, so they have to hold for something. And then, of course, tonight we had the Raiders and the Broncos, and that was the conclusion of the week. So, you know, we had a very eventful week 16. I mean, week 16 in the NFL, week 17 coming up next week to end the season. And, you know, this season's playoffs are going to be a lot of solid teams in there. Sometimes you get teams in the playoffs that you're like, oh man, how'd they get in there? But I think everybody this season is really deserving that's in the mix. So no matter what the matchups end up going to be, I think we're going to get some very solid games. I'm going to say AFC, look out for the Houston Texans. People, you know, all over ESPN and whatnot may not believe in these guys, but I'm going to sit there and say, why not? And when I ask you why not the Houston Texans, you really don't have an answer for that. Because if you whatever you got to say, it can be disputed. The team is solid offensively and defensively, special teams. They cover all aspects of the game well, and they're going to have games at home. Deshaun Watson, you know, he's a proven athlete with a big time arm. He's got two dangerous receivers on both sides of the football field at any given moment, you know. So the Houston Texans are my projection to come out the AFC. Worst case scenario, if the Houston Texans don't come out, you know, I'm gonna probably have to go with San Diego. Phillip Rivers probably finally make it out of the playoffs, Super Bowl. Because I mean, Phillip's like 20 years deep. How much longer can it last? He's still putting up great numbers. Shout out to them though. So Phillip can probably play another 5 years if he really wants to. but how many more opportunities are going to have to make Super Bowl for the Rivers? I'm a fan, but how much more can it go? How long can it go on until you finally say, hey, enough's enough? So I wish them well as well. Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. You know, if the Texans don't come out, I'm going to go option number one, Houston Texans. San Diego Chargers number two. And then the NFC, I've been speaking about Chicago Bears, so I'm going to stay with that. I don't back off my picks. I say the Bears for a projection out the NFC. However, if anybody not named Chicago is coming out the NFC, it's going to be Seattle Seahawks. I think those are the two best teams. No knock on the Rams. The Rams have beat Seattle twice. But something tells me when it comes down to it, those guys are going to get knocked off. So I'm going to go with Chicago and Houston would be my ideal Super Bowl matchup. But I'm going to say honorable mentions on those would be the San Diego Chargers and the Seattle Seahawks. You heard it here on the More Sauce Podcast. So you may say, man, this guy doesn't know anything. Wrong. I know everything. That's why you listen to my podcast. But anyway, I'm going to let you guys enjoy the rest of your day. It's Christmas. I'm out of here. Y'all be good. Follow me on Twitter at ELSAUCE89. That's at LSauce89. And I'm out of here. Y'all be good. Catch y'all later.